you hear me? Am I on?
Brilliant. Excellent stuff.
Well, thank you for inviting me back again. And 150 years. That's fantastic, isn't it, eh? Very, very good, that. Serving, worshipping God, being a light to the community. That's an amazing thing to achieve in a village here. And hopefully there'll be another 150 years to come. And where things will be happening here in an exciting way for you guys. So we should look for the future as well, which is good. There are a few questions I'm going to start off with here, and we'll see how you feel about these. I'm going through a bit of a midlife crisis at the moment. Why do we go to church? I'm asking these questions. Why do I have to pray? Why do I have to read the Bible? Why do I have to love? Anyone got anything? No. Should we all go home now then? I started to look at a few things of the way that we do as Christians. Because it's very easy to do things and forget the reasons why we do them, I think. I don't know if you're anything like me, but we start with the little things. You're supposed to live your life in these very good ways, but we forget the reasons that we do them in the first place. And it's very easy, I think, for Christianity to become following a set of rules. It just becomes a set of do's and don'ts and loses its joy and loses its purpose. If we go down that route, there was a story I heard once of a Christian who looked at his dog one week and thought his dog hadn't sworn, hadn't got drunk, hadn't gossiped, and therefore had been a better Christian than he had, which I thought was kind of summed up really where we were losing the plot. If your dog is a better Christian than you are, then that's not great. And it kind of got me thinking when we're looking at this stuff of what is it really all about? When Jesus came, he wasn't there following a new set of rules. He was coming here, I want to just give you a brand new set of things to live your life by here. There's probably the most famous verse in the Bible that I would go to first, which is John 3:16, which I'm sure a lot of you know well, but just in case, says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Which is nice, isn't it? Hey, so that's very good. And then later on in the same book, in John 17, verse 3, eternal life is defined by Jesus when he says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." I think a lot of people read John 3:16 and go, eternal life is therefore heaven. And we get this image straight away of, well, that's what it's all about. I mean, Jesus came and we've got eternal life, that means heaven. And Jesus actually said, well, actually, it's more to do with knowing God. This is really a definition of eternal life. Eternal life is knowing God. And I'm not taking away heaven from this before we get any heretical things and you'll kick me out here. But what he's very clear in saying here is that what I'm actually more interested in is a relationship with you. What I'm more interested in more than anything else is that you actually get to know God. And that's what Jesus has won for us. He's not won for us new rules. He's won for us a new life. A life where it's truly possible to know God. Now, we're going to put up Philippians 3 verse 8, which talks about Paul and his desire to know God. Verse 8, there we are. Well, I'll start with verse 7 because that's where it starts here. "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ." So for him, obviously, knowing Jesus, knowing God, was the most important thing by far. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It goes on for ages. But it kind of gives a really good flavour of what it is. So this is from the Amplified Bible. So I appreciate that if you want to keep reading it, this is just verse 8. So if you want to compare a little bit, this is how it goes. "Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. For his sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish in order that I may win Christ. So there's a lot more there, I think, but it kind of just expands what's going on in the Greek a little bit and just says this is really what it's talking about. And it's a journey. It's not a one-off. When we became Christians, we didn't go, poof, I know God now, that's great. It's a journey to get more and more and more progressively knowing him. So we start off knowing him a bit, and we get every day we have an opportunity to get to know him a bit more and a bit more and a bit more and a bit more. And that's the journey that we're on. That's the fun, actually. You can smile if you want, but that's the exciting bit about Christianity. This is what Jesus has won for us. This is what he went to the cross for. This is why he came, was that we could have this relationship with him where we could get to know who he truly is. And I thought, I've got to define this a little bit, because it's not just knowing about him. It's not just reading about him. It's not going, well, he's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. It's not all of the omnis, yeah? We're not just getting to know about him. We're actually getting to know his heart. So we're getting to know the things that move God. We're getting to know the things that delight God. We're getting to know the things that he cares about. We're getting to know the things that bother him, the things that hurt him. God's like this. He has emotions. We're made in his image, and we can start to look at God in that way where you're saying, well, when Jesus was on the planet, that he was very much bothered by the way certain things were. He was frustrated at times. He was happy at times. And it's a nice image of who God is. And we need to actually get an understanding that there are things that affect God. And the more we understand that, the more we actually get to know who he is. It's not just a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. And so the more we go on, the more our heart should be feeling these things. And that's the journey again that we can be on, that we can feel what God feels. We can feel what delights him. We can feel what hurts him to the degree that it affects us also. David was known as a man after God's own heart. I'm sure a lot of you may have heard of that. And man after God's own heart literally means that he wanted to have the heart that God had. He wanted to be affected by the things that affected God. He wanted to be bothered about the things that God was bothered about. He wanted, if God saw something as an injustice, then that was going to be David seeing that as an injustice. To be a man after God's own heart, a woman after God's own heart, that's what it's about when we're getting to know him. And I get very challenged when the verse where it says, in comparison, everything else is rubbish. Because here's your big question. Here's my big question. I'll throw this back at me more than anybody. If you're given a choice between getting to know God through worship, prayer, and reading the Bible or whatever, and watching TV when you're tired at night, what wins? That's a question for me. I'm sure you kind of like straight away, yeah, we're there. But a lot of the time, I'm like, man, I've had an absolutely exhausting day at school. And now it's just like, oh, what's on the telly? Or, you know, it's even harder now because we've got on-demand TV, so I can just watch anything that's been on ever, it feels like. So it is a challenge. But the Bible's really clear. Paul's incredibly clear here. In comparison to knowing God, everything is just rubbish. It's just junk. And I would have to say that the top 1,000 easily experiences I've had in my Christian walk have been where God has revealed some part of his heart to me in worship or in prayer or through the word, where God has said to me something, he's shown me something about his heart, and it's done something inside. It's actually changed me on the inside. And it is. This is all how we do it. It's spending time with him. And I'll come back to those three because I did mention them at the start. The worship, the prayer, the reading of the word is all that kind of, as long as we approach it with a, God, share your heart with me. Let me know who you are. Not done out of, oh, I'm supposed to do this because I'm a Christian. But show me who you are more. That's when Christianity really takes off and becomes something much, much more exciting. I would say that I went back when I was thinking through. I think in my teenage years, there were times when I felt quite isolated, quite lonely. And I became a Christian at 21. And through worship, through prayer, through reading the word, there were times when God was really sharing his desire for friendship with me. There was that kind of time where I really felt through verses in the Bible where Jesus was saying, look, this is how I feel about you. This is what I want to have with you. This is the relationship I want. Where things that I was not experiencing from people, Jesus was saying, this is what I want you to have. Where I was isolated, he was saying, I don't want you to feel isolated. You don't have to feel isolated. And you can have an incredible friendship from me. Even if you're not getting that from people, it doesn't matter. You can have it from me. And that was such a period of my time, a period of life in my where I would say my life was just getting healed up. I could feel my heart getting healed and strengthened because all the way through, Jesus was there replacing what I'd been missing in my teenage years. And I could feel it happening again and again and again, where he's going, it doesn't matter. What's happened in the past is gone, and I want to have you as my friend. And all of the rejection that happened in the past or all of the other things were just being healed up with that there. And that knowledge of his heart towards me, I think I would have imagined really, really filled me with a belief that he loved me unconditionally. It didn't matter. That just filled up and filled up and filled up. But it doesn't just stop with how God feels about me. It's not all about me. I've started discovering this, which is quite a shock because I thought it was. I think becoming a parent quite quickly makes you realize it's not just all about you. But it's not just all about you. And as my Christian life has progressed, and matured, it's become more and more about realizing that God desires, or God shares his heart with me for other people, for the broken, for the hurting, for the lost, so I can see people the way he sees them around. And that's my prayer always when I'm going around, that God helps me to see people the way he sees them. Helps me to feel for them the way he feels for them. Helps me to look at people the way he looks at them. And I'm still getting these experiences, though weird as they are, where I will just find that people start bursting into tears in front of me. I think that's a good thing, I'm not sure. But it's happening on a regular basis. I just ask, are you all right? I look concerned. And they're in tears. But there is obviously something where God's showing something in me there, or showing something about these people, and that is happening on you know, I think it's of God. I believe it's of God, where people are actually reacting and just going, I want to just all of a sudden the people either I know a bit or a lot, and they're just sharing their heart with me, and it's just coming out from just an innocuous "Is everything okay?" question. I've made my, you know, you must know that I'm a maths teacher at Tewkesbury School, but I've made my room into a safe room for kids that are having a hard time, because they'll come up to me and they'll be like, it's hard, you know, this person's picking on me, so I hate that. I don't like that. I don't like seeing kids suffering. It really bothers me, and I believe it bothers God, so I think I'm capturing something of God with that there. It does me. It really gets me, so I make my room a place where teenagers can come in and just be there at break at lunch so that no one's going to get to them. Do you know what I mean? It's a safe place. It's all I can do, really. But it does something for them at that point. So this is kind of like I'm sharing God's heart, feeling God's heart, and then moving on it. And that's really what I'm really talking about with all of this. It's not like, oh, I'm supposed to be doing these things. It's I'm moved to do these things. There's a genuine love that God is putting into our hearts all the time so that we can live out of that, because we feel the way he can feel, or we can. That's what Jesus has done all the way through. Because we're not to do things because they're rules. We're not to do things because this is the do's, this is the don'ts. Yeah, that's not Christianity. That's not the whole thing. That's not the game of, right, what's the, oh, I'm not allowed to steal. Oh, God, that's a downer, isn't it? Yeah, it's not the game plan anymore, is it? We're there we're put on the planet to feel God's heart and to go from that place. Do not steal, really. It should be more like, you know, we're here to give. We're here to love. We're here to bless. Not, oh, God, what can I get away with? So it just isn't quite stealing. Or whatever, yeah? How much can I get before it really isn't selfish? It's about loving, it's about giving, it's about blessing. But that only happens on the inside first. It only happens as we feel God's heart first. Christianity is so much more of an external, and that's what Jesus was talking about when he was having a go at the Pharisees, wasn't it? It's not about being what's going on the outside. It's an inside-out thing. It's making sure your heart is right on the inside, and then everything from there flows out. And that's got to be our true motivation. That's life in all its fullness. When Jesus said, I've come to bring life in all its fullness, it was supposed to be happy. You're supposed to be going around smiling. That's what I think, anyway. You know? You can't go, oh, I'm a Christian. You know? It's not much of an advert, is it? Become a Christian like me. We're supposed to be, this is it. He's released us into a life which can be full of joy, full of peace, full of happiness, full of everything that we can have. And it's not dependent on circumstances. It's not dependent on what's going on around us. It's not dependent on whether I'm having a really busy day or a really slack day. It's not dependent on whether it's the summer holidays, which it is, and that is great. But it isn't dependent on that, or it shouldn't be. It should be that I can have joy in the hardest part of the year as well as the easiest part of the year. And that's what I think is what it is. The true motivation, the true motive is not rules. It should never be rules. It should never be, well, this is what I'm supposed to do because I'm being a good Christian. It's about soaking in the love of God, being in the love of God, and then letting the love of God propel us to action, letting the love of God move us on into doing the things that see us as God's agents on the earth seeking his kingdom. So I found a prayer for us, and we're going to pray it. All right, and that's how we're gonna do this. I'm gonna finish on this prayer actually. So it's quite short and snappy today, isn't it? Eh? You thought I was gonna go on for ages, didn't you? But I'm not. So here's a prayer. This is in Ephesians 1 verse 17. This is a prayer that I pray over my kids every single night. You probably don't, not verbatim, but this is I think such a crucial part. That I pray over my own children every night. So if you want to know God better, you can amen it. And if you ain't bothered, then you don't have to. You know, I'm not judging you. But having spent 20 minutes talking to you about how it's a good idea, then, you know, no condemnation. but I'll pray this anyway. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Amen. Amen. Okay, and that really is that it's about a knowledge of God. That the more we can know him, the more we can know him in our hearts. I'm not talking intellectually. I'm talking about sharing his heart, sharing his desires, sharing what bothers him. The more it actually propels us into action, into a world that needs his love. I am happy to pray for people. I don't know if you want to do some more stuff on the guitar or whether you finished. I'm not sure how you want to do it. If you want me to pray for you at the end, I am happy to do, more than happy to do that. That's all part of the package I have here. So what I was sensing for God's love to fill people's hearts, if you're like, yeah, you know, actually I wouldn't mind to just sense that love of God again. I've not sensed the love of God for a while in my heart, then that I'm happy to pray with you there. Something that was coming very clearly was worries and anxieties. If you're struggling with worries and anxieties and you need to be filled with the peace of God, I mean, Paul starts virtually every letter, I think, of the New Testament with the grace and peace to you. Yeah? I mean, I think you'd be struggling to find a letter he doesn't start, which doesn't say grace and peace to you. It's something that obviously we need. So if you would like to be prayed for, to be filled with the peace of God, then I can do that. I'd love to do that. Freedom from anything that at the moment you're struggling with, that was coming quite clearly. And on the physical side, an arm injury. But I'll pray for any healing, you know me by now, I'm sure. But that was what came. So if you want to grab me, I'll be there singing a song until you close the meeting. Thank you very much.